You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the gym class here in KGYM. Groundhog's Day plus one on this February the 3rd. Scott Unash with you from our studios. Mark Dukes will join me coming up here in just a moment. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Good show coming up. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll talk college wrestling with the Hall of Famer coming up in just a little bit here on the show. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview. And, of course, we look back at last night's Big Ten game in Iowa City between the Iowa Hawkeyes and the Michigan State Spartans. All that coming up on the program here today. You're invited to join us, as always, on the text line at 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today on your thoughts about the game last night. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to phone us, you're more than welcome to do so. Again, that number, 319-366-1600 here today. Listening in on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, the KGYM mobile app, and, of course, your smart speaker as well. Many different ways to listen to the program. And if you missed anything, you can always go back and listen to the podcasts. Those are available. Three methods, KGYMradio.com, as well as your Apple and Spotify platforms as well. We are everywhere. Buttons were everywhere in this grand old orb that we call the Earth. As we get ready to go on this Wednesday, Kirk Ferentz meeting the media earlier on today as well, kind of the wrap-up of the 2020 Iowa football season. And a look ahead, what the Hawkeyes are thinking about spring football as well. So a lot to get to on our plate here today. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Well, and thanks to Buttons for providing all those different access points for our show. Really appreciate that. Looking forward to today's show, that's for sure.
Yeah, going to be a good one coming up here today. We'll be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And they'll have your next chance to win from Hertina Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. As far as their Valentine's giveaway is concerned, your shot to win a $50 gift card to use for that perfect gift for your significant other. And you can go to HertinaStockerJewelers.com for details and to preview their selections. I'll have your next chance to win. We got Iowa State women's basketball. Good matchup tonight. Iowa State in Morgantown to take on West Virginia tonight in Big 12 women's basketball. We'll join up with the broadcast at 6 o'clock, 6:05, with the tip-off from the WVU Coliseum out there in Morgantown. Again, 319-366-1600. That is our text line. And let's start with basketball from last night, Mark. And you knew it was not going to be easy. Michigan State, despite the fact that the Spartans have struggled, they've had COVID problems, they took a couple of weeks off, came back, looked a little lethargic against Rutgers. Well, as Tom Izzo said after the game, if Michigan State would have played the way they played last night against the Iowa Hawkeyes, they could have won some of those games that they had lost throughout the Big Ten season. Michigan State came out, shot the ball well early from three from a couple of different sources that you probably had not as far as the lottery of folks that would hit threes from Michigan State. But nonetheless, Spartans came out and gave Iowa their A game last night. But I think you got to give the Hawkeyes a lot of credit, and especially the Iowa bench, as Iowa came from behind to get that victory in a very much needed one last night against Tom Izzo's Michigan State Spartans. Mark?
Yeah, I thought it was a good, solid win. Not Iowa's best performance, but certainly Michigan State's, I think. As you mentioned, Tom Izzo said as much. And, you know, no, it didn't cover the spread. I don't think anybody in the Iowa basketball team cares about that. Others do. But, listen, I mean, every game is different. And we said 24 hours ago on this show, at least I did, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that I expected Iowa to win, but not by a big number. This is still Michigan State. It's not Michigan Tech. It's not Tom Izzo's best team by any stretch. But you have Izzo, and you have Joshua Langford, and you have Aaron Henry. Those two guys hit some early threes. Michigan State had 12 in the game. Doesn't every team do that against Iowa? I don't know. But
seemingly.
I have to give a standing ovation to Fran McCaffrey. I mean, for those of you who are Fran detractors, I'm sorry, but last night he coached a hell of a game, especially in turning to the bench and sticking with it for as long as he did. Jack Nungy, Joe Toussaint, Patrick McCaffrey.
Keegan Murray,
Tony Perkins. Those guys played better defense than the starters. I mean, you sit one son in Connor and turn to your other son, who played about the equal number of minutes. C.J. Frederick was ineffective. Who knows about him going forward? Jordan Bohannon only got 4 shots up. Joe Wieskamp was ineffective, I thought. So in giving Fran a standing ovation, he adapted to the game. He said, I'm going to go with these guys, see what they can give us. And they were the key to the game in my mind.
That and the fact that Iowa only turned the ball over 4 times last night.
Yes.
That was very, very good as far as the floor game is concerned. And you can come up with, yeah, did C.J. Frederick come back too early? Perhaps. Who knows? Only, you know, the medical personnel and C.J. Frederick and the Hawkeye coaching staff know. May have been better off to sit another game. Who knows? But he just didn't look like he had the juice that he usually has. Michigan State, much like everybody, gave Connor McCaffrey the opportunity to hit some outside shots. Could not do it. But Jack Nungy came in. Hit some threes, 2 out of 2 from three-point range, played very good defense once again, almost had a double-double last night. Toussaint was very good. Patrick McCaffrey had an amazing dunk last night, looked very good in the minutes that he was in there. And then you had Luka Garza with his 27-12 and a couple of blocks and doing usual Luka Garza things. But that bench played a lot down the stretch for Iowa, and you're right. The defense was much better when they were in there. Love to hear from you out there at 319-366-1600. What'd you think of the bench? What'd you think about the defense that the bench provided? And that win for the Hawkeyes, which was a much-needed one over Michigan State, who may have found some things. You knew Michigan State, after they got their legs underneath them again after the COVID drop-off and non-playing time, if you will, you knew they were going to start to get it back. Rather play Michigan State now. Now, Iowa's got to turn around and play up at the Breslin Center in about a week and a half. So it's going to be a quick turnaround. And that one's going to be a whole lot tougher because Michigan State, I think, figured a few things out last night. Of course, it helps when you shoot the ball well, too.
Absolutely. And I'll go back to what I said yesterday as well. The difference in one difference in this Michigan State team, as opposed to past teams, is that Foster Lawyer is not Cassius Winston. Now, he's a nice player, but he's nowhere near the point guard that Michigan State has had in the past. We talked about Henry. We talked about Langford. Joey Hauser gave good minutes. Michigan State out-rebounded Iowa. It did a lot of good things. And we'll mention it again. Izzo said if his team would have played like this, in past games, it wouldn't have the record that it does in the Big Ten, which, by the way, right now stands at 2-7. Hard to believe. But you and I realize, Scott, that just every game is different. The matchups are different. The motivation is different. You can't expect your team to deliver a stellar performance every time out. It's just not going to happen. Name me one team in the country who gets that. Maybe Gonzaga, maybe Baylor, I don't know. But very few do.
I would like to apologize for everyone out there because I did say yesterday on the show I thought Texas would beat Baylor. I was wrong about that one. They looked very good in what I saw of that basketball game last night. But good job by Baylor. They're a very, very good team. And Texas is good as well. 86-99 on the text line. Personal opinion, but Iowa is a better team when we mix up the lineup. The starting five isn't our best lineup. Yes and no. Starting fives, I think there's a lot more importance placed on the starting five than need be, if you will. It really comes down to who is playing in crunch time. And you saw who Fran McCaffrey put out there in crunch time last night. And that was the matchup that coach needed to put out there, like you mentioned, Mark. And I thought he did a very good job as well as far as mixing and matching things. Those guys that are in the starting lineup, I think, deserve to be in the starting lineup, if that makes any sense out there. But like I said, starting is a nice feather in your cap, but it's not the biggest thing in the world. Am I trying to explain that right, or am I not doing a very good job?
No, I think the starting lineups are very underrated because unless you don't have a deep bench, they're very overrated. Last night was a perfect example. And, you know, do you want to start what was the bench last night instead of who's out there, minus Luka Garza? You know, maybe that would work. I don't know. But a game is very long. 40 minutes is a long, long time. And last night you had your so-called bench players, Nungy, playing more minutes than Connor McCaffrey or C.J. Frederick, for example. So what's more important, being in the starting lineup or providing 23 solid minutes?
True. Very much true. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in, congratulations to Luka Garza, who joined the 2,000-point club last night and has only one more person to go by, the late, great Roy Marble Sr., to move into first place as far as all-time scoring for the Iowa men's basketball program is concerned. And you got to think that if Luka keeps up the pace and Iowa keeps on the basketball court and has a somewhat deep run, a lot of ifs if there's a Big Ten tournament and if Iowa has somewhat of a good run in the NCAA tournament, that Garza is probably going to overtake Marble coming up sometime this season.
Yeah, it won't take long. I mean, he's a little more than 100 points away from Roy Marble, and at his current pace, that's going to happen in five games, six games, something like that. So he's going to surpass Roy Marble, and that's a record that has stood for a long time, testament to what a great player that Roy Marble was. But Luke is great as well.
Hawkeyes went 11 deep last night, scored 39 points off the bench. Not only that, but you take a look at rebounding last night. Hawks got 19 rebounds off the bench in that particular ball game. And just a lot of big things that Iowa did well. And you just can't say enough about what that bench did last night for this Iowa basketball team, and had only one turnover. So that's getting things done out there. And kudos to all those guys, all six of them that came in. And Euless and Perkins, tell you what, I think everybody's eyes were surprised a little bit when they first made their Big Ten appearance several games ago. But I don't even think anyone's even batting an eyebrow now as far as if Euless and Perkins, or if and when Perkins and Euless come in to the basketball game.
Yeah, Euless only got 3 or 4 minutes, but it was Tony Perkins, I thought, who was really, really solid when he was in the basketball game. And Scott, listeners, I don't know about you, but one concern I have about this team right now is the outside shooting, three-point shooting, and the ability to get those shots. Now, there's many ways to win a basketball game. I understand that. And Iowa proved that last night. But when Jordan Bohannon is only getting up four shots, three of them from three-point range, and you have, you know, McCaffrey is not the shooter that the others are, 0 for 4. You didn't have Frederick. Wieskamp went 1 for 4. Toussaint, the other guard, was 0 for 1. I mean, the best three-point shooters on the floor, you could argue, were Garza and Nunji, your big guys. Perhaps Iowa can win in many different ways, and I think it will. But unless it gets more production from the three-point line, they're going to get nicked, and it might come tomorrow against Ohio State.
Murray is going to be a star here on the text line. Thank you very much. And I think he's going to be a heck of a player. And don't forget Chris yet. Chris is going to get his opportunity down the line here. 45-70. Guarantee Iowa won't get 20 more free throws in East Lansing. I am not going to take that bet.
No. I talked to a buddy of mine late this morning, and he watches all the Iowa basketball games. And he just marveled how Izzo chirps and chirps and chirps every foul, every time down the floor. And I'm sure it's benefited him in throughout the seasons and in his career. But he does like to talk a lot, and perhaps that will be true, and probably will be true in East Lansing.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And, you know, we talked about it when Iowa played Illinois. That is life on the road in the Big Ten. And it's not going to change anytime soon. And that's just kind of the way it goes. 43-32, two thoughts in the game last night. First, any win against an Izzo team is a great win. True. Second, why is Connor McCaffrey the only one who will pound the ball into Garza? I think the others are trying. Connor's just really good at it. He's a good passer. That is why Connor McCaffrey is playing. Connor is in there for his assist-to-turnover ratio, his high basketball IQ, and his ability to get the ball into the post. And Connor, with the attributes that he has, being 6'6"-ish right in there, he can look over most of the point guards and people that are covering him as far as the Big Ten is concerned. And he's just very adept at getting the ball down in the low post to Luka Garza. Others have tried it, but not quite as successfully. They do it as well in their own time. But that's why McCaffrey's in there. I mean, pure and simple. It's not because of his shooting. Let's just say that.
No, he's certainly got a skill, and he proved it last year, I think, leading the country in assist-to-turnover ratio. Garza has said as much. Not only this year, but in the past, he loves playing with Connor McCaffrey because of his ability to feed the post. That's his main role. Connor is a tough kid. Occasionally, now and then, he'll get a double-figure game, but that's not what he's all about. His headiness and ability to deliver the ball into Garza and others is what he's best at. And, not that others don't try, but the offense that Iowa runs, it runs through McCaffrey and it runs through Garza. So I don't know if it's so much that others won't do it. That's Connor's role.
Very much so. We'll talk more Iowa basketball coming up in just a little bit. We'll continue our discussion. Iowa State with a good performance last night against a good West Virginia team over in Ames. Fell a little bit short, though. Talk a little bit more about the Big Ten. We'll talk a little bit about what Kirk Ferentz had to say today as he met the media as far as Iowa football and wrapping up 2020, looking ahead to spring football is concerned. But we need to take a break. Come back. Mark Ironside set to join us, and we'll talk college wrestling with the Hall of Famer. We'll do it when we come back. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM.
Hey folks, this is Alex Kuhn from KGYM. What better way to celebrate the 55th edition of the big game than with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook? If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when the Chiefs play the Buccaneers. That's right. You can bet $5 and win $275 if you pick the winner of the big game on February 7th. Chiefs Kingdom, if you think that your team can stifle Tom Brady, 55-1 odds. And this is just one of many reasons to use FanDuel. They have tons of odds boosts and specials, not only every day, but they feature big super boosts each weekend. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus $275. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
So here's the thing. When you use electricity can matter as much as how much you use. Who knew, right? Linn County REC does. They purchase power to get members like you the electricity you need. When demand is the highest, it puts a whopper of an impact on the power grid, so the cost is higher. But if everybody kind of spreads out when they're using electricity, Linn County REC doesn't have to pay as much, and the savings are passed on to you. The busiest times for energy use are known as on-peak hours. Right now, that's from 4 in the afternoon to 9 at night. So, if everybody works together to lessen their use a little, it means lower impact on the grid and lower cost to Linn County REC and you. So what can you do? Easy stuff. Avoid running multiple appliances at the same time during peak hours, schedule chores like laundry, running the dishwasher for off-peak times, and keep the amount of electricity you're using lower from 4 to 9. Working together can beat the peak. Yet another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
26 past 3, gym class for a Wednesday coming your way on KGYM. Tomorrow, looking ahead to Thursday, Kevin Lehman will join us, the coach. We'll have Off the Glass talking college basketball, and we're going to talk about the Super Bowl on the betting side of things with Matt Friedman coming up tomorrow. So you want to tune in for that. Chiefs and the Buccaneers, coverage Sunday starting at 1 o'clock, all four frequencies right here on KGYM. As the Super Bowl, the 55th edition, comes your way from Tampa. And you just heard from Linder Tire a little bit ago. And, of course, we invite you to tune in to KGYM's Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire, each Friday at 5 o'clock on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. They are open for business. Call for an appointment or make one online. Visit KGYMradio.com. For more details, we're going to talk college wrestling. We do that on Wednesdays. It is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. And we always look forward to our Wednesday chat with the Hall of Famer Mark Ironside, who joins us here on the Wednesday edition of the show. How you doing on this Wednesday? Ready for another snowstorm?
Oh, man. Hunting season's over, so the snow can stay in the clouds.
I like that. I second that motion, by the way, but I don't think we're going to get that lucky, man.
I haven't even seen, honestly. I haven't looked at it for a while. I don't know if we're supposed to get rain, snow, mix, whatever, inches, anything. I just know that it was 100% the last I looked, and I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, I think we are going to get all of the above. And that and a whole lot more is, how about this for a segue, is what Iowa threw at Illinois on Sunday. Ba-dum-bum.
There you go. We're going to hopefully roll this weekend just like we've rolled the last few times. It was a real, you know, unfortunate situation last week, you know, not being able to wrestle Michigan. We really could have used that for a test, you know, from a team standpoint. But, you know, it is what it is, and that's just the way – with the times that we're living in right now, and we wrestled Illinois, and we blew through them pretty much like we were supposed to. You know, I mean, the lower half of our lineup just did what they do and just dominated all the living heck out of them. And Caleb Young had another good match, put some, you know, good amount of points on the scoreboard. Alex Marinelli, that's the big talk. You know, COVID. So he's out with COVID. I do not know when he came down with COVID. So I don't know if it was that morning. I don't know if it was the day before, 2 days before. I don't know. But it's 17 days for an athlete. So that's what's a bummer about that is 17 days is a long time. So if you happen to get it, you know, here sometime pretty soon, your clock's going to start ticking whether you can go to the Big Ten championships or the NCAA championships. And then the other thing they're going to look at is if, say you have COVID and you're sidelined for it, you know, come Big Ten times and you can't go to the Big Tens, you know, are you going to still get a wild card and get in? I mean, it depends upon your ranking and the ranking system. I would say yes, but if you're on that bubble, that's going to be interesting because you're not going to be able to represent yourself at the qualifier in the Big Ten or whatever your conference tournament is. So something we've got to think about. Had we not had Marinelli line up and wrestle Michigan, that would have been interesting. That would have been really, really interesting. So, but going back to the Illinois meet, 74 Kemmer looked great. 84 Nelson Brands lost again to a guy that he's lost to a couple times before in super tight close matches. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's a mental thing against this guy or what, but he's tight. He's unbelievably tight. He just a lot of unnecessary wasted time in hand fighting in the first two periods. Third period got a little bit more sense of urgency. Overtime got more. Almost had a takedown on the edge. I don't think he wanted the cube. He wanted the Tom and Terry to throw it in, so they did to challenge whether he had a takedown or not. I didn't think there was any way he was going to get a takedown. I think it really hurt him. You know, he had the momentum going in his favor. You know, he was in on a shot, almost got takedown on the edge. Instead of going back and wanting a cube, I think you go back to the center and you really get right back on him while the guy's getting fatigued a little bit and tired and things are going your way. Instead, we give him a little bit of a breather. And we got in a shot, almost finished again, but the guy was, you know, he was good. He's very athletic, and we almost got around behind him, but we left our legs behind and ended up taking us down. It was just unfortunate. And that's why in those matches, you know, if you're a guy like Nelson Brands, when you lose a tight match like that in overtime, that's where you wish that you would not only have just if I had another minute on the clock. Well, how about 3 minutes from the first period? Or how about 2 minutes from the second period, you know? You need all that time back on that clock. That's why you don't waste it. You wrestle the first second like it's the last second, yep. You know, and all the seconds in between. And you don't waste time. And it's just unfortunate because that's one that we should have had, kind of got away from us. And that might bite him a little bit, you know, with the seed-wise come Big Tens. And then 97, Warner, that's just one that we just can't get over that bump right there where we took a really, really easy 4-0 victory. Took him down really easy first period, rode him out the whole second period. Third period got an escape right away. Rest of the third period, didn't even try to score again, just coasted on an easy, easy victory instead of continuing to keep attacking, putting points on the scoreboard and trying to get a major decision. And wrestling like that is going to come back and bite you, just like it bit him against Nebraska. And that's where mentally wise, he has to turn the corner. He's got to get past sitting on easy, trying to just to take just trying to win. Instead of trying to win big and trying to put as many points on the scoreboard as he can, he's right now, he's just trying to take the easy way out and just keep it close and just trying to just win, and that's good enough. And again, against the good guys, it's going to bite you. And that's something where he's an upperclassman now. He's a junior. He should be past that. Cassiope, though, man, he came out, beautiful takedown, stayed with the leg, high crotch, kept what right with it, rode the guy tough, and then spanked a cradle on him, too. And that wasn't an easy, just the guy wasn't a gimme cradle. He took that cradle, and he freaking ran with it, and then he stuck him. And that was a good guy, fifth-ranked guy in the country. And he made him look silly. So that was a good rebound for Tony Cassiope after a not very good performance against Gabriel Stevenson.
Last week, Mark, we talked about Max Mirren facing a formidable opponent in number 8 Michael Carr. He got him at the end. Your impression in that match? And Mirren has another tough one this week.
He does. He's a really tough one with Ohio State and Sammy Sasso. Really, really tough kid. I think he beat Lugo last year in the dual meet, I'm pretty sure. Mirren is, he's not, the type of wrestler where he's just going to, he's flashy. He's not the type that's going to just be a crowd pleaser and everything, but he's just, he's a machine out there. He just keeps attacking. Even when he's not scoring points, like in the first period this last week against Illinois, you know, he used it to his advantage though, at least. He was still moving his hands, moving his feet, and then he could feel his opponent wearing, and he stayed on him. Second period got to him, got a takedown in, and he started getting closer and closer as the match was going on. He kept staying on the offense. And I really like what I see out of Mirren so far. You know, he's not putting a lot of points on the scoreboard, but he's wrestling some pretty good competition, and he's winning, I want to say handily or dominantly, but he's winning in a fashion where he's been basically in control the whole time. This Sammy Sasso from Ohio State is going to be a big test for him. He's very sleekish wrestler. He's very sly. He kind of has really good defense. He waits for you to come after him. And Mirren's going to have to be very selective in his shots. What I mean by that is really good, solid holds, solid double legs, which Mirren has, or go-behinds, picks, different things where you can hit a shot and finish quickly. Instead of getting in on a head of the inside single and wrestling on your knees and allowing Sasso to use a lot of funk and defense against you, because that's what he's going to want. And that's something that our coaching staff is very, very aware of and familiar with, and they're going to be working him. So that's a big, this is the biggest test of the season so far for Max Mirren, being up at 149 pounds.
Yeah. 98-96 question for you in the text line, Mark. Given the small sample size, is there anything that concerns or frustrates you thus far in the season? You've talked about Jacob Warner.
Yeah, you mean the small sample size?
Yeah.
You mean as far as like just our competition?
Well, I suppose just everything as a whole.
We haven't been pushed. That's why I'm saying it would have been nice for Michigan to wrestle Michigan, not just for some of the guys that have had some decent, you know, tough opponents and matches or whatever, but it would kind of show where we need some improvement, give some guys, you know, something to go back into the room to and to work on and improve on, and give something really kind of some motivation for them, so to speak. You know, but I mean, so far, I mean, I think where we've found some kind of kinks in our armor, the two biggest weights are 84 and 97. Those where we kind of have to polish ourselves up a little bit and start figuring some things out. 84, you know, Nelson's looked good this year, but even that first match, if you remember, against Nebraska, that was a big match he won. He still didn't get to his own offensive holds that much. And that's where, you know, Nelson struggled a little bit last year. He came out of the gate pretty good last year, won a couple big matches, and then he started tightening up a little bit and having a lot of close matches and losing close matches, like at the Midlands last year. And we can't have that same thing this year. If he wants to, you know, keep that spot and have that spot and be the man in that spot, he has got to get to his offensive holds earlier in a match. And the thing is he's got them. He's good. He's really, really good. It's just a matter of pulling that trigger earlier in a match. Same thing with Warner. Both Warner and Nelson Brands, both those two guys there. And then heavyweight two is going to be a good test this weekend for us too. That Orndorff from Ohio State's good heavyweight for Tony Cassiope. That's going to be a good match. There's going to be no let up there. I think Tony's looked good, wrestles well. I think that Gable Stevenson just has something kind of mentally against him. As Stevenson was tired in the second period, and we just let him off the hook, and we cannot do that. You can't let a guy off the hook when you're sensing fatigue, and that's when you turn up the burners even more so. And you know, but I think overall, I mean, I think we're just so solid, you know, up and down the lineup. Even where, you know, I'm nitpicking right now, we're still good. It's just we're nitpicking a little bit, and but that's why it would be good to wrestle a team like Michigan or Penn State coming up, just to see if you know, we can, you know, expose ourselves a little bit and show some vulnerability somewhere. Even at the lower weights and so forth, and it's good for us. It's good. Competition's good for you, and that you want it. So it is what it is. But I don't see that Michigan doing me getting rescheduled, unfortunately.
Mark, the Iowa wrestling tradition is chock full of stars, as you know, as I know. But I had someone ask me about that opening three weights, Lee, DeSanto, and Ironman. If there's been a comparable opening trio in an Iowa lineup that you remember.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you could go back to, you know, my where I look at is Chad Zapital at 118, national runner up, I think three years in a row, second in place in the nation. And then Terry Brands at 126. That was back when they had 18, 26, and 34. He had Zapital at 18, Terry Brands at 26, and Tom Brands at 134. Those three weights right there, that's pretty freaking tough to beat. That's really, really, really tough to beat, those three weights there. You know, you could go back to my era when we had, you know, Mike Mena at 18, national runner-up, and McGinnis, and then myself, you know, us three in a row there. That was a pretty solid lineup as well, too. So, you know, you got some different eras in there, that, you know, those first three weights, where I was always been really loaded, it seems like, in those first three weights. But right now what we have going there is pretty phenomenal and probably tops them all as of right now. I mean, when you got Spencer Lee, Austin DeSanto, and then now, you know, Jaden Ironman coming in from Missouri and, you know, ranked number one right out of the gate and pinning people, that's a tough trio to beat. That's going to be really tough. And, I wish we had more dual meets this year and against better teams and stuff, just because you just like to be able to start out with bing, bang, boom, just like that at some of those tough duels. And cause that makes a big difference.
It does. It does. Double duel this weekend in, West Lafayette, as, you guys go to take on Purdue and then, Ohio State. Now, usually Ohio State is very formidable right there, and not that they aren't this year. But it's not the Ohio State of two or three years ago right now. Still a good team, though, but one that Iowa should still take care of.
We'll take care of them as a team-wise, you know, but there's some individual matches in there that are huge matches that we got to be ready for against Ohio State. Like we already talked about, Max Mirren, you know, he's up to you know, whatever ranking you want to look at, fifth to eighth, somewhere in there. And he's taking on the number two ranked guy in the country. And that's huge for Max Mirren. That's the match of the weekend right there. And like I said, that Sammy Sasso is very dangerous. He's hard to wrestle. He's defensive. He's kind of sly, slick. And, it's going to be interesting to see, how Mirren can hold up and do well against. I shouldn't say hold up. I know he can hold up against him, but just if he can find a way to score points on him or not. And then, you know, at 174, it's going to be good for Michael Kemmer against Ohio State. You know, Kemmer ranked number one, and he's going to have the number three or four ranked guy, whatever ranking you want to look at, and Caleb Romero. So that's going to be good for Michael Kemmer to have a match like that, a guy that's, you know, supposed to be close to him, and Kemmer's looked phenomenal so far since he's come out of the gate and wrestled against Minnesota and Illinois. Love the guy. Love watching him wrestle. He wrestles when he's tired. He scores in all positions. He's tried scoring from the first whistle to the last. He's another guy. It's just epitome of Iowa wrestling. And like I said, too, at heavyweight, Cassiope's going to have, you know, a good match. It could be a really good match at heavyweight with Orndorff of Ohio State. And we've got to be ready to go on that one. But if we come out, we're ready to go like what we were against Illinois, it shouldn't be an issue.
Hey, Mark, a lot of people, including myself, have caught the Big Ten Network's 5-minute production on you, and Kurt Gustafson's son Ty texted me and said the only problem with it was 55 minutes too short. But I wondered two things: when did you do that, and what did you think of the end result?
We did it, I don't even know, not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, I think. You know, they put together pretty quick, but it was very, very short for the amount of time that they took interviewing me. I bet they interviewed me for close to 2 hours.
Oh.
And I know that they interviewed Stephen Graves, my radio partner, probably for a half hour, 45 minutes. I have no idea how long, you know, they sat with Tom and Coach Gable or not. But they did a lot of things, and we talked about all kinds of different things. But when you only have, I don't know, 5 minutes or so to cram all that in 5 minutes, they basically stuck to the script, stuck to wrestling oriented only. You know, they were talking about, you know, the my life now, the businesses, and how I wrestled, you know, and carry that over to the business now, and also, you know, into the hunting world and the racing world, and, you know, and they took some footage of racing and went out in the shop and fired up the late model, and they were super excited and they loved it. And but you know, none of that, you know, in my opinion, the fun stuff they left out, you know, the kind of the behind the scenes stuff, you know. So, but, you know, they got to the meat and potatoes, and I thought it turned out pretty good.
So we will eagerly await then the, you know, the backstory and the blooper reel and all that stuff. So that's coming soon, right?
I don't know, but hope so. That'd be cool. It'd be really cool. I know they got a lot more footage. They could definitely throw a 55-minute reel in there. That's for sure. They had plenty of they have plenty of tape, that's for sure.
Good stuff there. Other wrestling, Oklahoma State came up and beat Iowa State, and UNI beat Iowa State by a point. I think they got UNI by 7 or 8 or something like that, as Okie State is rated number 5. And it's an okay Oklahoma State team. This is not a great Oklahoma State team, certainly, though.
No, it's not the Oklahoma State team that you would normally see. It was for sure not the number 5 ranked Oklahoma State team. Let's say that, because they had a couple of key guys out of their lineup. You know, one obviously their 133 pounders ranked number 1 in the country. But you know, not to take anything away from Doug Schwab and Kevin Dressler and their programs, because they wrestled well. They're wrestling better and better every week. And, you know, they trounced Oklahoma pretty good. And then, you know, they wrestled Oklahoma State tough. And UNI, they did well against them, fared well. They had a big upset win against them. Their guy beat Greer, which is a big win for them. So they got some momentum going right now. It was interesting how Oklahoma State did that, where they went up and wrestled I want to say like 1 o'clock, and then they turned around and they got in their vans, and then they drove from Cedar Falls to Ames and wrestled Iowa State at 7 p.m. That's a long day for Oklahoma State, you know? So that definitely favored Iowa State there a little bit, but you don't see that happen very often. So kudos to John Smith and his mentality and Oklahoma State for, you know, being the year that we're having and putting both those on the schedule on the same day and traveling and doing that. So that wasn't something that was probably very easy for them. But, you know, I said, UNI and Iowa State, they did well and they got momentum going. They're getting better and better every match for sure.
True. Very true. And Coe almost got Wartburg.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I think what it was, they haven't beat them since like 87 or something like that, I think.
No one's beaten Wartburg, I think. Very few since 87.
Wartburg is, they're struggling a little bit this year. They're showing some vulnerability, no doubt. I'm sure that was one that, you know, Coach Oschendorf down at Coe would have loved to have had. He's been trying for years to knock them off, and that was a great opportunity for them. They lost a match and got pinned where, you know, they probably shouldn't have, but they also got a big pin too, where they probably weren't expected to get a big pin as well either. So it kind of worked out in both ways and balanced it out. But it made for a very entertaining match for sure. So, you know, we'll see what happens at the, you know, the conference tournament for those guys in the Nationals. So, but it was good. I'm just glad they got to wrestle. You know, I'm really, really glad they got to wrestle.
Yep. That's the big thing. That's the big thing right there. You're not going to West Lafayette, right?
Nope. I will be.
You guys do it from Kinnick, right?
Kinnick Stadium, yeah, TV monitors. I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I feel like I'm cheating the fans because I can't see everything that's going on. And a lot of that plays into the matches and the outcome of the matches, and it gives for a lot better color, and I can see how a guy's feeling by how slow he's coming back to the center, kind of how he reacts to certain things. And it just adds a lot more to the broadcast when you can see a lot of things that they're not showing on TV. And it just, I don't know. I feel like I'm cheating the fans in the broadcast when I can't see it in person. So I don't like that aspect of it, but I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be happy when I'm, you know, home at what time we wrestle, 2:30 or something like that, or 2 o'clock or 1:30. I'm home at, you know, 4:30 that night, and instead of literally just hopping on a bus and I have a 6-7 hour drive or 8 hour drive from Lafayette home, you know.
True.
When the high is -5.
Yeah, well, just a part of it. You may win some money though. I don't know.
And the other thing too is just think about that. When those guys get back, and I mean, that's the other thing, is they get back at, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, and it's, you know, it's been, it hasn't even gotten above zero for since they left. I mean, you get into a car that's like a frigging ice box, you know, and it's like, you're like hoping it's going to start, and then you're passing around jumper cables and helping each other out because these poor college kids don't have, you know, great cars to drive and so forth. It's always entertaining when you come back from trips like that and it's so stinking cold out.
Hey, before we go, 12:38, wondering, of course, Purdue has Western Dubuque grad Max Lyon on their team, so you'll get a chance to at least commentate on him this weekend.
Yeah, he wrestled right away out of the gate, you know, right out of high school. Didn't take a redshirt year. They didn't redshirt him, which I was shocked by. So, you know, he's been okay for them. He started out a little bit better than what he's done the past couple of years. So I don't know what's going on there, you know, if he's kind of just ready to be done and graduate or what. But he came out and wrestled better earlier in his career than he has the last couple of years. So, but that'll be a match where, you know, I look for Nelson Brands to, you know, kind of own him and really try to dominate. But not to take anything from Max Lyon because he's a great wrestler. It's just a matter of, is he really into it anymore or not? You know, is he really excited to be out there and want to try and win this match, or is he going to go out and just try and keep it close? So, but that should be a match where Nelson should you know, good solid win for him at least. Hopefully.
Have you picked out an outfit for the Arctic Plunge? Or are you still taking suggestions?
I'm still taking suggestions, Mark. I don't think I'm going to do the normal singlet like I normally do. I don't have time to order a special singlet in or anything for it. So I'm open for suggestions. I'm glad you brought that up, though. It's going to be, hopefully it warms up, you know, by the time February 20th rolls around versus this next week, because that could be really cold. But the good thing is that we're not going to have to worry about falling through the ice when we're walking around to the edge to the hole that we got to jump in. So should be plenty ice for the pond this year.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants a pledge, I am in the lead right now, but I got a long ways to go. I don't even know what I'm up to, around 8,000, but I like to get up to 15, 20,000 every year, so I still have a long ways to go. But it's HawkeyeWrestlingClub.com. Just go to that website, and I think it's right on the homepage, HawkeyeWrestlingClub.com. Because the Hawkeye Wrestling Club really needs that money this year, just with so many events being canceled in the past and not being able to have as many fundraisers as what they normally do. And we got some great guys coming up that are going to be competing at the World and Olympic level that are all going to be graduating at the same time. So we're going to need a good amount of money to try and keep these guys around to train with our collegiate guys.
No 1446, no Speedos.
My daughters would, they would never, ever, ever probably look at me again, ever.
Nor would I.
No, I don't think I'd do that. Unless, you know, if someone wanted to pledge me $10,000, I will show up with a pink thong.
Nope.
Speedo. I will do it. $10,000 on the table. I got to see the $10,000 and I will show up in the pink.
No one met. Well, there you go. It's on the table, everybody.
Yep. That's what it would take is $10,000.
At least. All right.
And hey, not a penny less.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Mark Ironside joining us here on the Gym Class. Joins us on Wednesdays, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. I don't think Kurt wants to see Mark in a Speedo thong either. So
no, he's on speed dial getting new clients right now to try to come up with that 10 grand.
We'll see. Mark may okay, be great money, but hey, all the humanity of it all. 319-366-1600. 4570s. I'll write a song about Mark Speedo. I think we've started something. All right, we'll take a break, come back, let you know what Kirk Ferentz had to say today, and have more for you, including a bowling night in America preview when we come back.
When we first moved to town, I inquired about banks in the area that were very customer-friendly and family-focused, and I was referred to Midwest One Bank.
We're talking with Dr. Azeem Ahmed about Midwest One Bank.
I love the fact that Midwest One Bank hangs on to our mortgage. It allows us to feel that we're banking locally.
Midwest One Bank has a variety of home loan programs for local mortgage service.
Midwest One Bank really simplified it for us. Midwest One Bank is definitely part of the community. They truly are invested in the community.
Midwest One Bank is simply better banking. Member FDIC, equal housing lender, loan subject to credit approval.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Back with you to talk a little Bowling Night in America, a BNA preview here at 3:54. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. They are the home of Bowling Night in America, which comes up tonight, Mark. Our old friends Barry's Lanes will be the opposition tonight.
Yeah, and the Rusty Nails are on a bit of a heater after last week, and hopefully we can continue that this week, perhaps move over to the left side of the standings. It's been a while, but we're climbing, and we need to continue that. So Barry's needs to comply.
Tied for seventh right now. We could conceivably get to fifth tonight. So, yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. Only one Bruiner tonight, though, so... we had three last week, and that went well. So we'll see what happens coming up tonight. But I know talking with the folks out at May City, they are very encouraged by the folks calling and inquiring about open bowling, and we encourage you to do so.
Yeah, especially this time, what we're going through in terms of COVID. Give them a call. They can accommodate you and open bowling. But give them a call ahead of time, 362-0136. I want to visit the pro shop, check out what they have at MayCityBowlCR.com.
And we'll have a wrap-up coming up tomorrow. Kirk Ferentz with his wrap-up of 2020 today, Mark. And he talked a little bit about the recruiting wrap-up as well, and mainly looking at what the Hawks are going to do for spring today.
Yeah, the signing date is different than it has been in the past. With an early signing date, we know many of the recruits already, but the scholarship players and walk-ons were announced. Kirk Ferentz said he's thought his team was very resilient in 2020, getting through and navigating that season. Said the plans are to start spring drills in mid to late March, and announced that it's his intention to name Raymond Brathwaite the full-time strength and conditioning coach. Raymond has been the interim since Chris Doyle got fired.
Yeah, and I think that would be a very, very good choice as far as the Hawks are concerned. It sounds like no fans for the spring game, or not even a spring game, if you will. They'll just keep things under wraps and behind closed doors.
That's true. No spring game, as I understand it. And real quickly, on the Iowa State side of things, a familiar name is going to walk on the Cyclone program, that being Marv Cook's son, Ashton Cook, the quarterback out of Regina, going to walk on in Ames.
Yeah, a little different right there. Drew went to Iowa, and Ashton will be going over to play for Matt Campbell, at least be on the program as far as the Cyclones are concerned. Cyclones with a good showing last night, got a few guys back, Solomon Young, etc., had a good start, a good finish, and not too good in between. West Virginia came away with the victory in that one. More on the Iowa-Michigan State game coming up with Todd and Alex. They will take you from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock this evening. And then we got Iowa State women's basketball, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM coming up. And that will be at 6 o'clock tonight with a 6:05 tip-off from WVU Coliseum over in Morgantown. Tomorrow, we'll talk college basketball. Kevin Lehman will join us, and we'll also talk about the Super Bowl coming up tomorrow, and talk about odds and betting and a little bit about all those great crazy bets coming up tomorrow. Have a good night, Mark, and we'll talk to you at 3 tomorrow.
Have a great night. Talk to you then.
It's been the Gym Class, KGYM.
Good morning, privates.
Good morning, Sergeant.
I mean, seriously, what a pleasant morning. The sun is shining and the birds are chirping.
You seem to be in a good mood today.
Astute observation.
He's probably happy because he found out Honey Nut Cheerios can help lower...